Good morning, everyone. Nice to be back at our Sanwan Homa. We're going to have a Shiva Homa and Kala Homa. Start the phase, start the week. So we have a talk that's somewhat new this morning. Success, a Hindu approach. In today's material world, success in life is popularly measured by looking solely at people's professional and family life. Do they have a good and well-paying job and a nice home with a well-educated spouse and intelligent children? If the answer is yes, then they are considered to be successful. We will take this as our initial definition of success, and throughout this article, deepen and broaden it in important ways. Parents are naturally focused on making sure their children are as successful in life as possible, which is good. However, unfortunately, some Hindu parents feel that their children's participation in Hindu religious activities and studies is a complete waste of time, meaning that it contributes nothing at all to their becoming successful. This attitude is based on one or more incorrect concepts, such as the following three. Hinduism encourages us to look at the world as unreal and thus take no interest in becoming successful. Hinduism is against the acquiring of wealth and the enjoyment of life. Hinduism's devotional practices and attending the Hindu temple are only for field and factory workers, not for the highly educated professional. These three concepts are, of course, incorrect concepts, as Hinduism, when properly taught and properly practiced, definitely helps us be even more successful in life than we otherwise would be. Let's begin deepening our understanding of the Hindu concept of success by looking at the concept of the Purusharthas. These are called the four pursuits in which humans may legitimately engage, also called Chaturvarga, fourfold good, and are a basic principle of Hindu ethics. They are, as we know, Dharma, which is virtue, Artha, which is wealth, Kama, love, and Moksha, liberation. The achievement of the two goals, wealth and love, is identical to our initial definition of success. And thus we can see that Hinduism, contrary to what many Hindus believe, is in fact concerned with an individual's being successful in life. Said another way, wealth and love are the goals of all humans, including Hindus. Hinduism, however, is also concerned about how we pursue wealth and love. Do we do it in a virtuous and honest way? Or do we do so without virtue and honesty? Are spouses faithful to one another or not? Do we acquire wealth through honest or dishonest means? This is a concern of all the world's religions, not just Hinduism. Dharma, virtue, now enters the picture. Dharma is not totally a separate goal, but also governs the proper way to pursue the goals of wealth and love. Dharma also guides us not to simply hoard our wealth just for our own benefit, but rather to share it through acts of hospitality and giving. To elaborate a bit more, Dharma is the fulfillment of virtue, good works, duties and responsibilities, restraints and observances, performing one's part in the service and upliftment of society. It is the steady guide for Artha and Kama. Artha is material welfare and abundance, money, property, and possessions. It includes the basic needs, food, money, clothing, and shelter. But Gurudeva expands the definition to say that wealth required to maintain a comfortable home, raise a family, fulfill a career, and perform religious duties. He goes on to say the broadest concept of wealth embraces financial independence, freedom from debt, worthy children, good friends, leisure time, faithful servants, trustworthy employees, and the joys of giving, feeding the poor, supporting religious mendicants, worshiping devoutly, protecting all creatures, upholding the family, and offering hospitality to guests. Artha measures not only riches, but quality of life, providing the personal and social security needed to pursue kama, dharma, and moksha. It allows for the fulfillment of the householder's five daily sacrifices, pancha mahayagna, to God, ancestors, devas, creatures, and men. Kama is earthly love, aesthetic and cultural fulfillment, pleasures of the world, including sexual, joys of family, intellectual satisfaction. It includes the enjoyment of happiness, security, creativity, usefulness, and inspiration. And of course, we need to say something about moksha as well. Moksha, also called mukti, is freedom from the rounds of birth and death, samsara, which occurs after karma has been resolved and realization of the self-God has been attained. The desire for moksha only comes after a soul has pursued and been successful in dharma, artha, and kama for many lives, so that one is no longer attached to worldly joys and sorrows. Said another way, those who renounce the world in this life in the one-pointed pursuit of moksha do so because they have achieved success and fulfillment in the world in past lives. You may find it interesting to know that we regularly receive emails from devotees pursuing family life saying that their strong desire is that their dharma for next life will be to follow the monastic path in pursuit of moksha. That's always a nice email to receive.